Hi, Sander. How are you? And a controversial topic. You shouldn't. You should be more careful. Should we worry that automation in the workplace will kill jobs?
Well, I'm worried about my job being killed. No, I'm not, just joking. But we're talking about a very, very controversial issue here. Very controversial. As many people say yes as no. So let me start with this major controversy. In the very late 2017, this is the latest report, the McKinsey Global Institute, McKinsey, of course, you know, number one consulting company, released a report which estimates that automation in the workplace will eliminate up to 73 million jobs in 10 years from now. And a growing chorus of skeptics is proclaiming, we don't buy into this. It's insane. It's not going to happen. So listen to this. The largest corporate layoffs of this century seems primarily to have been caused not by advanced technology, but more by market changes, mergers, and plain old bad business decisions. This is a quote from the CEO of one of the major compensation and benefits consultancies called Cowden Associates, Elliot Dinkin. Elliot Dinkin is the CEO, and this is his quote. So for more than half a century, this is interesting, technology has been blamed for killing jobs, yet in 1950, the U.S. Census Bureau listed 250 separate jobs. Only one has been completely eliminated. And guess which one that is? An elevator operator.
Seriously?
An elevator operator.
Now they're called starters.
Elevator operation tasks, like greeting visitors and guiding them through, you know, to the right office, have been distributed to receptionists and security guards. So
right, and or also called starters. Do you remember the starter? It used to be called a starter. And there's one particular building in New York City on Madison Avenue that once they eliminated that, moved them to a desk, and now they greet.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Thank God we're not an elevator. I know, Jill, you were at one time an elevator operator, but I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry. I have to just tell you that Rudy Radicovich, who was the superintendent at 55 East 86th Street in 1968, let both my brother and I try to stop the elevator. And most of the time, even though we lived on the 15th floor, you know, we could stop it between 15 and 16.
Yeah. So anyway, a little bit of history, So Mr. Dinkin, he notes that automation often facilitates business growth and stimulates employment. Listen to this. This is a little bit of history again. When Ford Motor Company introduced the auto assembly line in 1913, it reduced the build time on a Model T from 12 hours to 90 minutes. Ford used that breakthrough, not to cut staffing, but to ramp up production. Despite recent grumbling about offshoring jobs to other nations, the auto industry employment is growing thanks largely to automation. Very interesting, isn't it? So between 2011, 2017, automaking and auto supplies employment increased almost 50%. Adding nearly 130,000 jobs in the U.S. This is according to the American Automotive Policy Council. So it's very interesting that the controversies will continue. So another too often overlooked aspect of the future labor market is worker availability. It's a big issue here. Hal Varian, chief economist at Google, points out that while most popular discussions of technology center around replacing people with machines, current demographic trends point to a coming substantial drop in the supply of labor. And so this is a major issue because of the immigration policy now of the administration. You know, we're not letting qualified immigrants in So there is a substantial drop here in the supply of labor. Of course, I know many, many, many corps who are who are saying the same thing. We just can't find enough good production people. So the demographic effect on the labor market is 53, believe it or not, 53% larger than the automation effect, meaning that when both are considered, both employment and real wages are more likely to increase than decrease. Particularly now with, you know, the 50% minimum wage being flagged by many. So, in the future, as in the past, says Mr. Dinkin, workforce reductions will always be a possibility. In the future, as in the past, automation will play a role in these decisions, but only as one of the number of factors, all of which need to be taken into account. And what matters is to understand the situation and to handle it in a manner fair to all parties. The lesson, Mr. Dinkin says, quote, "We urge both labor representatives and corporate management to approach workforce decisions with as little passion and as much analysis as possible." And that's what's going on, the analysis. But as of now, you know, there's a major controversy, less jobs or more because of automation, is still up in the air. No one can agree. And but the key thing is, as I mentioned before, Jill, is the whole immigration issue. Corporations do not have enough people in the production area. Automobiles, whatever area you're in, the immigration issue is a major issue for us. So we just don't know. We have to wait a little bit more and look at the future. So that's where we are with this whole automation thing. Very controversial. No one has an answer. No one. A real answer for this.
Right. And there's also, with all respect to everyone involved, there's a whole lot of selective and convenient thinking and discussion and editorializing and et cetera, as they say. Because when you get out of the ivory topic aspect, I just saw somebody interviewed on TV trying to get summer work at his restaurant. And he was very diplomatically trying to say, yeah, I can't get kids to show up because they'd rather sit on their duffs looking at their phones.
Sure, exactly.
And so,
that's a whole other issue that we can discuss. The whole millennial issue, right?
Yeah,
they're on their phones all the time.
But
which is a whole other subject of how do we reach them? You know, how do you get them involved in your business? You have to be attuned to automation and know how to reach them by phone. That's a whole other subject, don't know, Jill.
Yeah, I understand, but I don't know how you automate. What are we going to do? Have robots bringing out your grilled cheese sandwich?
No, well, that may happen.
I understand, but it's fun to talk about. Practically speaking, you know, I need a robot to go pick up the cat food right now.
Yes, exactly.
And so I don't know how that works outside of conceptualizing I'm not talking about assembly lines. I'm not talking about other areas where there's plenty of use for it. But I will say that, you know, going way back, we sort of used to joke that artificial intelligence was its own issue because, you know, the people doing the program, you were limited by the limitations, if you will, of the people doing the programming.
Yes.
And now people just can't, because after 20 years of just pressing and going down into another rabbit hole and then clicking and going to another rabbit hole, which I call slinky, you don't have a broad parallel working on several tracks mind anymore. And if you don't have that, how do you program that into an arrangement that is designed to do one screen to another screen to another screen to another screen? So
Well said. Look what's going on today. Jeff Bezos at Amazon. I mean, an amazing person, amazing quote. I mean, forget about his divorce and the new woman in his life. But you now, Jeff Bezos, Amazon, you know, food can be delivered now by drone. That's a trial, right? Instead of having a delivery person, this is a test that he's doing. Can be delivered by drone. So, I mean, look at the things that Jeff Bezos is doing and will continue to do in the, you know, AI area.
Right. And, you know, and then, yeah, absolutely.
Self-driving cars too, Jill. Self-driving cars. I mean, you know, still risky, the self-driving car, but.
Well, you've seen some of the adverts for it and you know, it works. And right now it's just limited assist. But again, there is the practicality, and then there's the actual functioning, quote, down on the ground. And if I've learned anything in my advancing years, it's that these ideas that seem really great in a think tank are pretty inefficient when they are, you know, there are places that are really good for them. For example, yeah. Electric self-driving cars in cities? Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
But then if you're coming from, you know, 200 miles away,
yes.
How do you do that?
Exactly.
And even when you take something like, in your city, congestion pricing. Okay,
yes.
Well, that's really brilliant for the people who come in. But what about the people who work there? They don't all take the train.
Yes.
So how do they not?
Very true.
You know, and again, I'm hopeful that someone is thinking about these when it comes to implementation. But again, more often than not, what you find
yes.
is that it's implemented and then, oh, there's a problem. And then you end up redistributing essentially the elevator operators to become the jobs aren't eliminated. The elevator operators, quote, become starters and reception, you know, greeters and whatever else you mentioned in.
Yes. And so the one thing we should consider is that when you look at the graduate school students, what are they majoring in? AI is very big, a very, very big major, computer science. And also globally, if you look at what's going on around the world, the Chinese are unbelievable in the AI area. The corporations are there. Really, really are somewhat ahead of us right now, focusing on AI. So it's going to be very big, Bill. We'll see. We'll see what this brings to us, this new focus on artificial intelligence and what it can do insofar as jobs are concerned. Lose them or will they create more? We'll see. We'll see.
Thank you very much, Sander Flaum. Leader's Edge.
Thank you, Jill.